Let's get started, and I'll happily start by taking questions.
On a commencé, il a pu commencer avec répondre à mes questions.
So,
Patrick, Ambroise.
Bonjour, bonjour, bonjour tout le monde. Question de la Regina, c'est une question qui a gagné à trois volets. Et moi, regardez dans la Bible, dans la parole là, en fonction de l'histoire de l'Église, à travers l'histoire de l'Église, que moi, je vais nous capter, nous comprendre mieux. Regardez dans la Bible, moi, que la Bible a dit que tout ça fait écrit, il y a la bonne instruction pour nous faire une meilleure, pour nous apprendre. Regardons l'autre texte dans la Bible là, qui dit comme ça encore. Jésus-Christ bail docteur yo pasteur pour capable perfectionner saint yo. Pendant que j'en ai fait histoire l'église là, j'ai une question qui montait dans la tête moi. Si on est l'église, des docteurs là-dedans, des enseignants, est-ce que c'est normal pour apostasie régner pendant des années dans l'église, pendant ce temps, docteur yo, yo mieux placé pour capable enseigner l'église avec enseignant yo, est-ce que son bagage qui possible les nous garder histoire l'église nous dans mouvement nous les nous garder ça passé et des histoires passées dans mouvement et qui côté docteur ça yo teye pendant des années nous gain des bagages qui dans mouvement qui rete pendant bon temps et voilà les nous garder histoire de l'église nous voyons histoire de l'église là pour permettre nous mieux canaliser nous dans le futur ma question aussi clair, Regina, s'il te plaît.
Question en pile, et moi perdu dans la milieu de question. Et on t'a parlé de, comme on va prendre l'histoire de l'Église, dans le blanc, et worker, tout ça que, qui écrit, les blancs disent pour instruction, donc on va faire mieux, on va venir mieux. Et j'ai dit que dans notre écriture encore, que le banon docteur yo, qui pour enseigner, sien yo. Mes questions là, c'est comment ça dans le mouvement nous? Si nous avons des docteurs qui sont dans le mouvement, qui sont là, et puis pour ça que nous avons enduré tout ça,
Est-ce que c'est possible pour un bagage en train de mouvement comme apostasie, qui fait des années pendant ce temps que des docteurs et des enseignants à l'église? Comment ça fait?
Est-ce que c'est possible pour gagner,
répétez-moi, apostasie qui est en train dans l'église, il fait des années de siéger pendant ce temps que des docteurs et des enseignants à l'église? Qui l'a pour perfectionner l'église?
Ok, bon, mais. Je ne vais pas dire. Alors, apostasie, c'est abandon de la foi. Est-ce que tu veux parler d'hérésie ou apostasie?
Merci, très bien. Je voulais parler d'hérésie, des bagailles que nous entreprenons, mais qui passaient dans les normes doctrines que nous connaissons. Merci.
Est-ce que c'est possible que gagner et réussir qui est rentré dans le mouvement pendant que nous gagnons des docteurs qui étaient supposés là pour enseigner nous, qui pour instruire nous dans la bonne voie?
Pendant ce temps, nous connaissons que c'est pour ça ou là.
Ok. Thank you. Hi, John.
Yes.
Yes. So, in learning about the history of the church from your class and Patrick says that in the Bible, he says that like, everything that is written in the Bible is for our instructions so that we can learn and do better. And again, in another scripture, it says that Jesus placed, you know, ministers and pastors and doctors in the church to instruct or to teach the members of the church. How do you explain the heresy that existed in the church in the history of our movements where we went through a few years of trouble in the church? If all these doctors, ministers, like all these things, like teachers like you were in the movement, how come we experienced that, I guess, that problem or that heresy during the years that the church went through, the thing that it went through?
Yeah. First of all, there was definitely no heresy in our church. That is a rather gross exaggeration.
Definitely définitivement pas gagné ici dans le mouvement noir. Je pense que c'est une exagération qui God.
In fact, not only was it not heresy, I don't even think it was false doctrine. But I think there were some mistaken practices. And it's hard for a teacher to oppose an unwise practice. So I think the lack of shepherds in our movement might be a factor there.
Moi pense que manque de berger dans mouvement noir capable de jouer un rôle ou un facteur dans problème là.
I believe there was an imbalance in the power between evangelists and elders or shepherds.
Il y a une imbalance entre berger ancien yo avec évangéliste yo.
And I believe Kit McKean may have even wanted it that way, possibly.
Et je pense que Kit McKean était peut-être besoin comme ça, possiblement.
I can't say for sure. I don't know his motivation. But I was part of the teacher group in our church long before the changes happened in 2003.
Je faisais partie du groupe enseignant dans le mouvement avant même que
And the teacher group generally was well aware of the problems that were happening. So there was no heresy. Heresy would be to have a teaching which is a mistake about who God is. Or a mistake about how we're saved. Heresy is an error of an essential doctrine. We could divide doctrines into three categories. Essential doctrine.
Doctrine essentielle.
Important doctrine.
Doctrine important.
And not very important doctrine.
Et doctrine qui pas important.
An essential doctrine would be who Jesus is.
Et doctrine essentielle, c'est, qui mon Jésus est. Doctrine essentielle, c'est qui mon Jésus est.
The relationship between the Holy Spirit and the Father, things like that.
Relation de Saint-Esprit avec Papa, bagaille comme ça.
Other essential doctrines would be related to salvation. For example, infant baptism would be an essentially wrong doctrine.
For example, baptême de bébé capable un exemple de une doctrine essentielle qui pas bon.
Or not agreeing that repentance or faith is part of salvation. Our church definitely did not struggle with those kinds of mistakes. Important doctrines are not salvation issues. For example, our doctrine related to charismatic gifts or having elders and things like this. Whether we've had an error in an important doctrine, I think is probably debatable. And the teachers would be responsible for these kinds of things. Unimportant doctrines would be things like, how old is the earth?
Et donc, ce qui est pas important, c'est quel âge tu as guéri.
Or, you know, who is Leviathan or something like that.
Ou bien, qui est Leviathan? Leviathan, c'est une créature que vous parlez dans la Bible, là, en pile.
Anyway, I will be discussing the history of the ICOC in our last class, so we'll get back to that.
Oui, et de toute façon, les gars, pour parler de doctrine à ICOC dans la dernière classe, non? Et la venir sur ça, de la parler de classe ça, de l'autre classe ça.
Okay, let's take one more question, but please let it relate to the material we already covered.
La première question, mais t'as demandé pour que question ça ait pour voir avec matériel que déjà couvert.
No questions?
Pas de questions?
Okay, we'll take questions later, so let's get started.
Il y a une question sur le chat là,
Oh, there's, let me take a look. Merci, Edouz. There's a question in the chat.
Okay.
There's a question in the chat, John. It says that when we look at Act 2, we see that the church was created. So after the all the apostles died, why do we... Oh, yes. So after all the apostles dies... why do we call like all these fathers of the church that we term in our history class that the fathers of the church? Why do we call them fathers of the church when they are the one who comes with all the drifting that the church experienced in its history?
Yeah. Well, first of all, that's just the traditional name that's used.
Premièrement, ça c'est le nom traditionnel qui est utilisé.
But I would say these early church fathers did many more good things than bad things.
Et quand on dit tout père l'église là, il fait plus bon bagage que il fait mauvais bagage.
Justin or Ignatius or Polycarp or Irenaeus, they were amazing church leaders.
Justin, Ignace, Irenaeus, tout le monde ça était des bons leaders à l'église là.
Generally, they did a very good job. The church in the second and third century was very powerful and was amazing. We do see some drift and some things to be concerned about. But I'm sure we have drift in our own movement. And things to be concerned about in our own movement as well. So we have both positive and negative examples from the early church. And I mentioned what are commonly called the church fathers. These were very devoted Christians who generally did an amazing job, actually. It's when we get to the 5th and 6th century, we start to see leaders that are maybe not so good, perhaps.
C'est à partir de l'époque 5e et 6e siècle que nous voyons des leaders qui pas tellement bons.
So maybe we should be cautious in too strongly criticizing these early church leaders.
Et t'as parlé pour nous prendre un peu de précaution pour ne pas critiquer premier leader de l'Église.
You read about them in the volume 1 of my church history series. And I think I said mostly good things about them. Just like you and me, good and bad. Okay, let's start the class.
Okay, on va commencer classe.
Here we go. So let me do a little bit of reviewing.
Okay, moi je fais une petite révision.
We'll say a few things about Martin Luther and Ulrich Zwingli.
On va dire trois mots de Martin Luther avec Zwingli.
So Martin Luther was not trying to start a Reformation.
Martin Luther n'a pas essayé de commencer une réformation.
He was attempting to reform the Catholic Church, but not start a new church. A key moment was when he studied the book of Romans. He saw the problems in the Catholic Church, especially works salvation. And he rediscovered the importance of faith in salvation. But we saw that he swung the pendulum too far in the opposite direction. And he taught faith alone. Nevertheless, Martin Luther restored many, many biblical New Testament practices.
Martin Luther a restauré en pile en pratique Nouveau Testament.
However, he overemphasized the sovereignty of God.
Mais il accentué sur sovereignty bon Dieu.
To a very large extent, his theology was the same as Augustine. Nevertheless, I think of Martin Luther as a hero in many ways. But he did a much better job of restoring New Testament practice than New Testament doctrine. So to use the fancy words, he restored orthopraxy, but not orthodoxy. And then there is Ulrich Zwingli, who created the movement known as Reformed Theology. His Reformation was more gradual, but it was also more thorough or complete. He rejected almost every Catholic practice that we would find unbiblical. And he was even a more radical Augustinian, even than Luther. He taught double predestination. That there are two categories of people. Those that God created in order to go to heaven. And those that God created in order to go to hell. This is a terrible doctrine. And it affects Christianity greatly, even now, even 500 years later.
Même aujourd'hui, après plus de 500 ans.
And related to his doctrine of no free will, he was the first one to teach that baptism is merely a symbol of what God has already done. Almost every doctrine in the Protestant religions that we don't agree with can be traced back to Ulrich Zwingli. He agreed with Luther on many doctrines. But they disagreed about the Lord's Supper. Martin Luther taught consubstantiation. Which means that Christ is in the elements in the Lord's Supper. He didn't teach transubstantiation. Which is that the bread is literally turned into the flesh of Jesus and the wine is literally turned into the blood of Jesus. But he taught that Christ was in the elements in some mystical way. But Ulrich Zwingli said, no, that's not true. That the bread is like the body and the wine is like the blood. And that the Lord's Supper is principally a remembrance. I'll be honest with you, I'm not sure who I agree with. I read 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I'm not sure that Martin Luther was wrong. Yeah. Because this is not an essential doctrine.
Parce que ça, c'est pas une doctrine qui est essentielle.
Okay. Now we go to our next subject. Which is the Anabaptist movement. They didn't call themselves Anabaptists. That's what their enemies called them. Anabaptist means rebaptizing. This movement was also called the Radical Reformation. It began in
1525.
It began in Zurich, the same city where Ulrich Zwingli was. And it's a logical extension of what Zwingli was already doing. There was a famous meeting. Zwingli was in attendance at that meeting. And many of the important leaders of Zwingli's movement were there. And they agreed that according to the Bible, baptism requires faith.
que baptême au moment de la foi, baptême au moment de la foi.
So they agreed that adult baptism should be restored.
J'étais d'accord que pour l'église en restaurer baptême adulte.
And according to the important leaders in the Anabaptist movement, at that meeting, Zwingli agreed with this.
Zwingli était d'accord avec tout leader important, Anabaptiste important, yo, et Zwingli était d'accord avec eux.
But later, Zwingli changed his mind.
Et après un temps, Zwingli changé idée.
Why did he do that?
Pourquoi ça qu'il t'a changé idée?
Why did he reject an obvious biblical teaching that faith is required for salvation? Which of course he agreed with, and therefore faith is necessary for salvation. Well, we can't know people's motivations, can we? But I would speculate what Zwingli's motivation was. And it's because of the connection between church and state. It's important to remember that both Luther's Reformation and Zwingli's Reformation were monarchical reformations. In other words, they agreed that the state and the church are partners. And in Christianity in Europe in the 16th century, baptism and citizenship were equal.
En Europe, dans le 16e siècle, et baptême était son citoyen et égal avec son chrétien avec citoyen était égal.
And if he were to acknowledge that an adult chooses to be baptized, that would give freedom of conscience, but also freedom of citizenship. Once the Anabaptists began to practice adult baptism, it immediately became a form of treason against the state. There was a public debate between Zwingli and a man named Felix Manz, who was an Anabaptist. And the debate was sponsored by Zwingli, and of course he won the debate, in quotes. And after that debate, they began a very, very terrible persecution against the Anabaptists. But let me tell you, you can see a picture on the screen of some of the executions that happened. If you try to talk about the writings of the Anabaptists, we don't have very many. Because every important leader of this movement was executed. Every single one. The only exception was Menno Simons. Who founded the group that we call Mennonites.
Mennonite.
Yeah. But he came into the movement about 20 years after it began.
Mais il est venu dans le mouvement 20 ans après que le mouvement a commencé.
So what did the Anabaptists teach?
Qu'est-ce que les Anabaptistes ont enseigné?
Most importantly, they taught that the church is made up out of baptized believers.
Ce qui est important, c'est que je crois que l'église là formée de croyants adultes.
The church is made up of people who actually have real faith in Christ.
L'église là formée par des adultes qui gagnaient la foi en Jésus.
It's made up out of people, adults, who've repented and been baptized. These Anabaptists were our brothers and sisters in Christ. And they taught what you and I believe, that the church is made up out of real disciples.
Ils ont enseigné ça que moi-même avec quoi je tiens que l'église là est formée par des vrais disciples.
And remember, in the reformations of Luther and Zwingli, probably 90% of the people that were part of the church weren't really true believers.
Et rappelons que le mouvement Luther avec Zwingli, à peu près 90% de monde qui était fait partie de l'église là pas des vrais croyants.
The Anabaptists also rejected predestination. They rejected Augustine and most of the bad theology of Augustine. As I already said, they practice adult immersion. After evidence of repentance and a confession of faith, they taught that the Bible is the only source of Christian authority. They had a very, very strong teaching about the separation between church and state. Their reasoning was that as long as church and state are married, then the church will be primarily made out of unbelievers. And they were quite specific about rejecting Constantine and Augustine. They taught synergism as opposed to monergism. Yes, right. In other words, that our faith works together with God so that we could be saved. Another very important practice or teaching of the Anabaptists was they were pacifists. I would call them radical pacifists, actually. In rejecting the connection between church and state, they said Christians should have no involvement in the state at all. All of these that I've described are very good traits, wouldn't you say? One negative in the Anabaptist movement is that they were schismatic. In other words, they tended to divide into smaller groups quite rapidly.
Ça veut dire que t'es geta dans que divisé en petits groupes petits rapidement.
Even now, there are a number of Anabaptist churches, and they're not in fellowship with each other.
Il y a pile l'église anabaptiste, mais pas en communion entre eux.
There's the Mennonites and the Amish and the Hutterites and others. Anytime we form a church which tries to reestablish New Testament practices, and also allows for freedom of conscience,
et qui aussi by qui demande libre pour yo gain liberté de conscience.
We find out that such groups tend to divide rapidly into smaller groups.
Nous voyons que groupes ça yo qui tendance pour diviser rapidement la petit groupe, diviser en petit groupe petit rapidement.
This is a very important lesson for us to pay attention to.
Ça c'est une leçon qui est important pour nous prêter un peu l'attention avec lui.
And we're going to learn about the restoration movement in about 3 weeks. And other movements that tried to restore New Testament practice. And all these groups allow for freedom of conscience. And they struggle to not divide rapidly, but to stay united. So a lesson we need to learn is it's difficult for groups like us to remain united. Anyway, in one year later,
de toute façon, une année après,
Zwingli issued a decree.
Zwingli était by un décret.
He said, anybody who is baptized as an adult,
et tout le monde qui est baptisé en tant qu'adulte,
should be executed.
Supposé exécuté.
He said, no trial required.
Il dit, pas de pièce, aller dans le tribunal, juste exécuter mon Dieu.
If they confess to being baptized as an adult,
se confesser que vous baptisez en tant qu'adulte,
then we sentence them to death,
pour yo, ben, vous sentez la mort, yo.
We throw them into the water and we drown them. In the year 1529, rebaptism became a capital offense throughout the entire German Empire.
Rebaptism?
Yes.
Yeah, rebaptism became a capital the European, which empire?
You know, the Holy Roman Empire. The Holy Roman Empire, yeah. So when people were baptized into Christ in the Anabaptist movement, it was like preparation for martyrdom. One of the important early leaders of the Anabaptist movement was named Sattler. Let's read a quote from Sattler. Ne sommes, all that one there.
Ne sommes prêts à souffrir et à attendre ce que Dieu a l'intention de faire de nous. Nous continuerons dans notre foi au Christ tant que nous aurons du souffle en nous, à moins que les Écritures de nous
So the devotion of these Anabaptists to biblical authority and to true faith in Christ is absolutely amazing.
c'était très fascinant, dévotion biblique anabaptiste avec vraie foi en Christ. C'était très fascinant.
And Sattler's words were prophetic.
Sattler était très prophétique.
He was put on trial.
Il était mis en tribunal.
And the clerk at his trial said this.
Et clerk dans le tribunal l'a dit.
He said, "The hangman will teach you."
Il dit que mon que hangman c'est mon que
The hangman will settle the argument. You arch heretic.
Arch heretic. We are not arch heretic.
No, he was. The clerk at his trial said, "You are an arch heretic." Of course, as far as we're concerned, it's the clerk at the trial who was the actual heretic. And tens of thousands were martyred. From a historical perspective, it's hard for us to understand how important it was that they taught the separation between church and state. Another important leader of the Anabaptist movement was Balthasar Hubmaier.
Un autre leader qui était important, c'était Balthasar.
Hubmaier, yeah.
Balthasar Hubmaier?
Yes. They burned him at the stake in 1528. And they drowned his wife in the Danube River. Generally, the Catholics burned the Anabaptists at the stake. So the execution in this picture is probably a Catholic execution. But the Zwingli people drowned them. Other traits of the Anabaptists. It seems that when we give people freedom of conscience, then these groups tend to have weird doctrines about the end time.
The end time,
you know, like things related to when Jesus comes back. And so many of the groups had strange end time prophecies.
Et 99%
of the Anabaptists were pacifists. But there was one group in the city of Munster that taught an end time prophecy that said they should arm themselves. They started a rebellion in the city of Munster and killed the leaders. This is the first time when the Protestants and the Catholics ever worked together.
les premières fois catholiques et protestants ont travaillé ensemble.
So, Lutheran armies and Catholic armies surrounded the city of Munster. And they massacred the occupants of that city. Anyway, because of the extreme persecutions, the Anabaptists made what I believe is a mistake. They chose to almost completely remove themselves from the world. They taught a rather extreme separation from the world. So not only did they remove themselves from political activities, but they formed their own colonies, their own communes. And even today, the Mennonites and the Amish are famous for doing this. If you withdraw from the world, you can't influence the world. After an initial 50 or 100 years of very rapid growth, the Anabaptist movement began to, it stopped growing. And they primarily tried to protect themselves from the world. And they also practiced a very strong church discipline. They would disfellowship anybody who disagreed with what they taught. And they would kick them out of their community. The Swiss Anabaptists became the Amish. The Dutch Anabaptists became the Mennonites.
Which place?
From Dutch? Holland, from Dutch, Holland, Netherlands.
Okay, Dutch, yes. Mennonites?
Yeah, the Mennonites. They're still in existence today, yes.
Mennonites.
And by about the year 1600, the Anabaptists had almost no influence in the world. But still, this is a very exciting period in church history. And there still exist small groups of Anabaptists today. Even today, they teach repentance and baptism for salvation. And they teach a strong discipleship. So you might be surprised if you meet an Anabaptist. I don't know if they have them in Haiti, maybe. We certainly have them in the U.S. And maybe they're true Christians. You can decide when you meet one of them. Okay, the last very, very important figure in the Reformation is Jean Calvin. Of course, we Americans, we say John Calvin.
Bien sûr, en Amérique, on dit John Calvin.
But I try to say Jean Calvin.
Jean Calvin.
He was French.
C'était un Français.
And he was a second generation of the Reformation. When Martin Luther began his Reformation, Calvin was only 8 years old. But he was converted around the age of 20 or so. And he joined essentially a Lutheran movement in Germany. In France, excuse me, in France. The Reformation was not successful in France. What I mean by that is it never became a government. It never had its own government. There were tens of thousands of Protestants in France. They became known as Huguenots. Yeah. H-U-G-E-N-O-T, Huguenot.
H-U-G.
H-E-U-G-E-N-O-T, Huguenot. You tell me, it's a French word. I don't know how to pronounce it.
I don't see it on the screen.
Oh, okay. Well.
Is it H-U-E?
Sure. G-E-N-O-T.
H-U-E-G-E-N-O-T?
Yeah.
Oh, Huguenot. Okay.
Huguenot, okay.
Huguenot, okay. Thank you.
But although there were tens of thousands of Protestants in France, they were strongly persecuted. In order to save his life, John Calvin left France and went to Genève.
Pour sauver la ville, Calvin quitté la France pour aller au Genève.
He wasn't planning on staying there. He was passing through. But there he met William Farrell, Guillaume Farrell. And Farrell convinced him to stay in Genève. And there he began to teach the Bible. He was first and foremost a Bible teacher. He was a very, very reluctant church leader.
Reluctant.
Yeah, he did not want to be a church leader at all. But he was such a successful Bible teacher that eventually he became the most important figure in the city of Genève. And he established a theocracy in Genève. He successfully converted the city of Genève from a Catholic city to a Protestant city. And the center of gravity for the Reformation in Switzerland changed from Zurich to Genève.
Centre de gravité réformation peut être changé de Switzerland qu'on est venu Saint-Clair-Avignon à Genève.
And Calvin took the leading role of the Reformation in Switzerland.
Et Calvin lui-même qui était leader en chef de réformation en Suisse.
politically and theologically, he was aligned with Martin Luther, not with Ulrich Zwingli.
Politically and theologically.
Thank you.
Politiquement et théologiquement, il était plus connecté.
He was more aligned with Martin Luther than Ulrich Zwingli.
Il était plus connecté avec Martin Luther que Ulrich Zwingli.
But later, when Luther died, and his movement was taken over by Philippe Melanchthon. Somebody needs to turn off their... Good. When Lutheranism was taken over by Philippe Melanchthon, then, although Calvin never joined with Zwingli, ultimately, John Calvin's theology was that of Reformed theology. So although John Calvin never publicly aligned himself with Zwingli, his church was more like the Zwingli group than the Lutherans. So he became the leader of the Reformed movement. All right, so it's 7 o'clock, so we're going to take our 5-minute break. And we'll take questions at the beginning of the next section. Okay.